Welcome, reflective viewers, to this week's edition of Science and Spirituality, featuring the second in our three-part series on acclaimed British scientist, author, visionary, and lecturer Dr. Jude Currivan, who has learned that science and spirituality can be viewed as two sides of the same coin. Having experienced multidimensional reality since the age of four, Dr. Currivan was guided to pursue a career that integrates the latest developments in science, universal and ancient wisdom, and new revelations about a conscious universe with no boundaries between science, spirituality, and everything else. After conducting her doctoral research in ancient cosmologies, Dr. Currivan received a PhD in archaeology from the University of Reading in the UK. She also holds an MA in physics from Oxford University, with a specialization in cosmology and quantum physics. Last week, Dr. Currivan discussed her background and her growth in understanding about the nature of the cosmos. She also presented ideas on how modern theories in physics are beginning to show how human consciousness is intimately intertwined with the physical universe, a phenomenon called non-local interconnection, which has long been understood by the world's great spiritual traditions. Let's now continue our interview with Dr. Currivan to learn more about this fascinating subject.
The information of our universe has been held on its boundary, not within it, what we call space, three-dimensional space, but on its boundary, rather like the surface, the spherical surface of a black hole. And so what's been realised is that just as in a hologram, where we have a two-dimensional representation of information, that when light flows through it, a three-dimensional object is recreated. This holographic principle is being used now at the leading edge of cosmology as a way of modelling our universe.
Scientific understanding of the holographic nature of the universe requires viewing reality as a product of our own conscious thoughts and intentions.
Now, if information is at the very root of what we call reality, then essentially we need to take a step further back and understand that it's conscious intention that is creating our realities. That consciousness pervades everything, is everything. It's not even relevant to talk about the separation of mind and spirit and body, because all they are different aspects of the same whole. As a cosmologist, for many, many years, my perception has been that there are fundamental interconnections between people and places that work out on energetic and conscious levels. And I found that time and time and time again, that we have connections between people and places. And there are certain hot spots on the surface of Gaia. And think of Gaia, think of the Earth as a living consciousness. It's very different from our own individuator consciousness, for sure. But we have to really now start to expand our awareness beyond just the human understanding, beyond the personality understanding.
Speech and thoughts and actions actually on a collective level can influence and can create reality around us.
And that's not just the energy field of humanity, it's the energy field of Gaia herself, of which we are an intrinsic part. So what's been known on a spiritual level for many years is now being proven to be the case, that we do affect other people. And when we send out love, that helps, that opens people up, that's a higher vibration. But when we either fear or we hate, then that is a lower vibration. And that too has influence and effect. And so the more that we can raise our vibration, become more coherent in a feeling of love, then that raises the whole vibration of our collective. We need to take this breath out that goes from the individual to the family, to the nation, to the collective, to Gaia, to our solar system, and on beyond that. And as we move from that level of our personality, as we grow and awaken and expand our awareness to transpersonal levels, we both see and understand and experience that whole world. We experience that non-local interconnectivity. And we begin to experience multidimensional realities. What we believe, we see. What we do not believe, what we cannot imagine, we literally do not see. And there is a shift taking place, individually and collectively. As we do wake up, we're beginning to open our awareness to other possibilities. We're beginning to see things that we did not see before because of those self-imposed limitations.
Transcending our traditional three-dimensional way of viewing the world will move humankind into a new reality.
So, as we begin to sort of develop or to cultivate this new way of thinking, as to turn around into the light, as it were, are you saying that that is a connection that we'll see worldwide if we start to shift in our consciousness?
I feel we are seeing the shift worldwide. We're literally moving as part of this shift into what I call mythic reality. We are living mythic reality. This is the time of miracles and synchronicities and waves of change that are coming through us. And we can make that shift, we can live that shift as gracefully and as lovingly as possible, or to hold on to limited ideas of control and ego-based perceptions of reality.
Dr. Karavin was inspired to travel the world to find evidence relating to the coming change in human awareness. She visited places where she says the Lemurians, a race of people who are said to have lived on the Earth's surface tens of thousands of years ago, but are now underground, place solar disks to help humanity remember we are connected with the rest of the universe.
In your book, in the 13th Step, you described pilgrimage to the ancient artifacts around the world. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about that, what it means?
Well, back in 1998, I was given a spiritual download of really the years to come. And at that point, there were 13, 14 years or so until the end of the Mayan calendar, which ends on the December solstice of 2012. And I was given an understanding that around the world, there were 12 multidimensional artifacts that had been positioned around the planetary energy grid that were ready to be activated for the shift that is now, and that they'd been positioned there during Lemurian times around 39,000 years ago. Now, as people will probably appreciate, that came as quite a shock to me, and I really needed a lot of validation, because as far as I was aware, nobody else was being given this sort of information. But I trusted the information, I trusted it enough to really begin what was a pilgrimage to the sites that I'd been told about. And the validation was that when I had my first intimation of this information, that within about 3 or 4 weeks, there were so many synchronicities that played into the information that I'd been given, that essentially it just felt right that I needed to go forward and to see what would come. And so I began this pilgrimage, this global pilgrimage, that began in Egypt in 2001 and then went from there to South Africa and China and Peru and Alaska and New Zealand, literally all around the world. Before I went, though, what I did was I literally located each of the 12 sites as far as I had any understanding of them at that stage, and it didn't all come at once. It unfolded over time. But I positioned them as well as I could on a map of the Earth, and I was truly amazed to realise that they could be positioned such that each of them anchored one of the 12 faces of the planetary energy grid that Plato had originally talked about. Plato had originally said, and many geomancers now agree, that the energy field of the Earth, of Gaia, has 12 faces. It's a dodecahedron. And when I positioned these 12 sites that Spirit had told me about, and which I hadn't known about until then, each of them was able to be located on a different face of a 12-fold geometry overlying the Earth. And I sometimes describe those journeys as a hero's journey. In myth, in legend, there are classical journeys where an ordinary person gets a call to do something extraordinary. And if they answer that call, it changes them forever. And essentially that's what happened to me. And not just to me, but also having subsequently written the book, The 13th Step, that tells the true story of those journeys and what we learned from them, what I learned from them, that is common to us all, about our own awakening, about the shift, about what's happening in 2012 and beyond. Then I was able to share that with many, many more people. And the feedback I've had from people who've read the book is very much that they feel it's their journey and that they've learned so much about themselves through reading it. And it truly is. You don't need to go around the world. You don't need to undertake this great pilgrimage. You can stay in your own home. It's an inner journey of self-discovery and awareness. And so that was what it was all about. But what I learned through it about the shift was very much about the reality, the significance of 2012.
Once again, Dr. Curvin, we thank you for your profound insights on the interaction of modern science, ancient wisdom, and the evolution of human consciousness. You and your colleagues play an important role in informing us that our perspectives need to be expanded to encompass the entire universe, and that our conscious intentions create the reality around us. For more details on Dr. Curvin, please visit www.judecurvin.com. The 13th Step and other books by Jude Curvin are available at the same website. Please join us again next Monday for Science and Spirituality and the last of our three-part series on Dr. Jude Curvin. Genial viewers, thank you for your presence today on our program. Coming up next is Words of Wisdom after Noteworthy News. May humanity forever reach for the stars and beyond.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/ss.